Niagara-on-the-Lake, you know that there are lots of vineyards in Niagara-on-the-Lake, right? And those of you who like to taste wine, if you're not of age, maybe this doesn't apply to you. But if you'd like to sample and taste wine, there's plenty of different types of wine that you can taste. And sometimes when you see these vineyards, you might see people that are hard at work, like in the picture here, and they are pruning the vines. And so if you can turn with me into John chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. Sorry. Sam will come up and read the scripture, and then I will continue from there. Sorry, Sam. So we're talking about the vines, right? We're talking about the pruning process. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 2, we are talking about Jesus, who is the true vine, and our Father, our Heavenly Father, who is the gardener. The gardener's job is to prune every branch that is bearing fruit, not the ones that are not bearing fruit. So Jesus identifies himself in this way, because back then in the Old Testament, you'll realize that Jesus, not Jesus, but the people, Israel, were also called the vine. But they were not faithful to God, and they did not follow in his commands. So when Jesus says that he is a true vine, he's saying, I am the faithful one. I am the one who stays connected to the Heavenly Father. And I am the one who will obey his commands. So we're talking about two different types of branches here. We're talking about the branch that bears fruit, and we're talking about the branch that does not bear fruit, right? The one that does bear fruit is the one that will be pruned by the gardener. The one that is not bearing fruit is cut off, right? And it's not going to be able to produce much. So the pruning process is quite a laborious process. James and Tiana, you can verify whether this is true when it comes to pruning a vine. So when we prune a vine, there are five steps that are involved in terms of pruning a vine. We need to remove any dead, damaged, and diseased or unproductive stems. We need to remove the overly tangled stems. We need to remove the stems that are growing away from the support. We need to direct the growth, and we need to limit its growth. So this pruning process helps the vine to become healthy and productive and attractive to those that see it. So you can see in the picture on the right, that is a vine that has been pruned, and it knows which direction it should go. So in the three steps, the first step 1, 2, and 3, we're talking about how do we clean the vine, how do we prepare the vine so that it is ready to grow in the right direction. So in verse 3, it talks about how the disciples are to be cleansed by the word that Jesus has spoken to them. So let's continue in our passage in verse 4 to 5. It says, remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So just like a branch that is fallen off the tree, or a branch that falls off the vine, it's no longer living, right? It is dead. It is disconnected from the vine, from the source of nourishment that makes it alive. So this is what Jesus is asking us to do, is to stay connected to the vine, that we need to remain in him, remain in Christ, and that Christ would also remain in us. It's only when we remain in Christ that we can bear fruit. When we are separated from Christ, no fruit will grow. Jesus is telling us this whole idea of remaining and abiding in him is so important, because he knows that the disciples will soon have to separate from him, right? So he wants to remind the disciples, hey, you want to find a way to connect with me? Stay connected to me spiritually, all right, by remaining in the vine. So this mutual abiding is Jesus abides in us, right? And we abide in him. So it's more than just believing in Christ, but it is a close association and a union with Christ. We live in complete dependence and connection with Jesus, who is the vine. A big part of staying close to God is to obey God's words. How many of you have ever been disconnected from Wi-Fi or internet before? And has that happened to you? Any of you, it happened this week because of the flooding? Yeah, okay, Michael has his hand up. So it also happened to me too, okay? So sometimes you know that if you preach, sometimes you get the best illustrations during the week that you have to preach, okay? So I was disconnected on Thursday, okay, from the internet. It was not the end of the world because it wasn't that long. But for that brief period of time, maybe about an hour, I was already pretty anxious, okay? Any of you guys get anxious when you can't connect? Yeah, you might feel that feeling too, right? So I did what I was normally supposed to do. You have to like unplug the modem and then re-plug it. But somehow it just did not work. Okay, no matter what I did, I just could not get it to be fixed. So I ended up calling Rogers, and they ended up fixing my problem. Luckily, within an hour. So yay, Rogers. Okay, so being disconnected is never a good feeling, right? Even if your data doesn't work or the servers go down, you never feel really good when you're offline. But let me ask you a question. How many of you would notice if you're offline with Jesus? How many of you would notice if you were disconnected from Jesus the vine? Some of you might not even notice. You might just go on your daily life, just busy doing this and that, and not even have any awareness that you've been disconnected, that you're offline with Jesus. So maybe you might feel like that your energy is depleted, you don't have any more energy to keep serving the Lord, perhaps you're lacking in spiritual vitalities. These might be signs that you might be disconnected with Jesus. And when you feel that you're so empty that you have nothing left to give, that also might be another sign that you are either burning out or you need to reconnect with the vine. Remember, it is never never God's desire that you remain disconnected forever. Jesus wants you to continually stay connected to the vine, because it is when you're connected that you bear fruit for God. Let's continue reading in verse 5-7. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've heard that before, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You will bear fruit, remaining in God. So if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, as you see, there's that contrast between the vine that's connected to the vine and the branch that's not connected, right? One, the branch that's not connected will be thrown out. It's useless. It'll be like kindling for a fire, right? The one that is connected will continue to bear much fruit, okay? Not just a little bit of fruit, lots of fruit, okay? Lots of fruit for Jesus. So in some commentaries, it says that the branch that was thrown away is related to Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, right? Who separated and disconnected from Jesus. He ended up betraying Jesus and ended up betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. So apart from God, we need to realize that it's apart from God and apart from abiding in Jesus, we can do nothing. When it comes to ministry, especially serving in the church, we need Jesus, okay? We need to stay connected to Jesus. If we are disconnected with Jesus, we cannot bear fruit for him. We cannot bear fruit that has any lasting value for him. We may be able to do a lot of good works, which might look good for others, but we might not be able to bear eternal fruit for God. So this is a good warning, good reminder for us to stay connected to the vine. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So what are some different ways that we can stay connected to the vine? First of all, we can read the scriptures, okay? So some of you maybe love to read the Bible, and you read it every day, right? Some of you maybe don't like to read it at all, okay? Or some of you are maybe in between, right? You kind of read the Bible sometimes, but not always, right? Remember, God's word needs to remain in you. If we are not remaining in the word of God, if we're not reading our Bibles, then we are already deciding to disconnect with Jesus. Okay? So our job as Christians and as followers of Jesus is to remain connected to the vine. And the way we do that is by reading God's word and allowing God's word to remain in us. Spiritual fruit wants to be born in us as we read the word of God. And it starts with our Christian character. Okay? So before you even think about like evangelizing to people or sharing the gospel, start with your own self. Okay? Because if your life is reflecting Christ, then it will be a testimony in itself to others about who Jesus is, and it'll kind of arouse their curiosity to want to know more. So start with the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So can you guys read this with me? But the fruit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. All right, so if we are seeing fruit born in our lives, we will start seeing some of these different characteristics being emerging in us, okay? Perhaps after you become a believer, you make a decision to follow Jesus, you'll find, oh, I have more peace in my life than before. Or perhaps when you decided that you've been following Jesus for a long time, maybe God will prompt you to say, oh, I think you need to be more gentle with this person. Okay, so then maybe that fruit will start to be born in your life. Okay, or perhaps God will start to awaken you to a desire to be more faithful to the Lord. Okay, so maybe, or to others. Faithfulness to God's commands, faithful in your walk with God. All right, so these are the fruit that we will start to see as we follow Jesus. So the next point is talking about abiding in his love by obeying God's commands. Okay, so let's read in verse 9 to 11. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. So remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be complete. My joy may be complete in you, and your joy may be complete. So remaining in God's love means that we stay put. We stay in the presence of God. All right? We don't leave the presence of God. We just continue to dwell in God's presence for us. So when we meditate on the scriptures, when we obey God's commands, it helps us to keep God in the center of our lives. When we choose not to obey God's commands, then it's like we're not in God's realm of love anymore. Or we are not as close to God as we could be if we were obeying God's commands. So how many of you find it easy to obey instructions? Anybody? Good at obeying God's commands? Okay, some? Okay, I guess you would probably ask me, it depends on which command, right? That I need to obey, right? And then you could probably answer me whether you're good at obeying or not. But some of us can be very stubborn, right? We choose that, even if we know what the command is, we choose not to follow, all right? So this is a problem. Because if we are continually doing the opposite of what God wants us to do, it's very difficult for us to abide in God's love for us. So when I think about abiding in God's love, I think about this interesting picture. Right? You guys know what this is? It's a sauna, right? Okay, so if you guys have ever experienced being in a sauna before, you know that you can't just go in and out of a sauna, right? It's not like dipping your feet in a pool. It's different. Right? In order for you to get the full experience of being in a sauna, you need to remain in that sauna. Okay, you got to soak up all that heat, right? You need to allow your pores. Yes, Irene knows. Okay, your pores to start to open so that you can get the full benefits. Okay? So same thing with remaining in God's love. In order for us to fully remain in God's love, we need to dwell there. We need to remain there, okay? We cannot just go in and out and just kind of like, okay, I got some of God's love, I can go now, right? It's just remaining there, dwelling there, sitting there, enjoying God's presence. enjoying God's love for us. So next thing I want us to talk about is the idea of loving one another. So how many of you guys find it easy to love each other, love others? Okay, well, one little kid thinks that maybe he doesn't know what it means to really love yet. Okay, but that's okay. For me, I've been a pastor for almost 20 years now, and I know it can be very challenging to love others. So there are times when I definitely do not feel like loving others, okay? There are times when I really have to force myself to love others, but when people like me or people love me, then of course it's easy to love, right? But it's always hard when you have to love somebody who is difficult to love. So Jesus finishes his talk with his disciples by giving them this command. In verse 12 to 14, he says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if I do what I command." If obeying God means that we love God, then we as Christians have no choice. We need to love each other. And it is hard work, right? A lot of times we don't have the capacity to love. A lot of times we just run out of fuel, right? Our tanks are empty, and it's extremely difficult for us to love one another. But this is a command from God. We show God that we love him when we obey his commands. So we know that our source of the greatest love is God, right? Because God is love. And God wants to give us the love that we need to fill up our tanks. So if you take a look at this picture, you say, you can pray this prayer, fill up my love tank, God. All right, and then as you pray, you connect with Jesus, and you worship him, and you read the Bible, then these things will help to fuel your love tank. So you will have the unconditional love that God wants to give to you to love others. It's still hard, but we are more capable of doing it when we have God's love to help us. So let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let's start from the beginning. So love is, okay, and then just go through the list. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So one indicator you can try is go back to your Bibles and then go through this list with you, 1 Corinthians 13, and ask yourself, okay, is Amy kind? All right, if I say no to that question, that means I have to work on that, right? Is Amy not easily angered? Then that means that I need to work on that. Okay, if I say no to that answer, then it means that that's an area I need to work at. Okay, so you can just go through the list and then figure out what are the qualities of love that maybe you are missing or that God needs to grow in you so that you can be stronger in terms of loving others. So I'll let you do that on your own time. You can do it in the time after the service. Go through that list and ask yourself, where is it that I need to improve in terms of loving one another? Remember, loving one another is difficult, but it is a command from the Lord. Ask God, who is it that you want me to love? Maybe you can start with somebody here at the church. Maybe there's somebody at the church who really needs love, and he is choosing you to love that person. All right, so if that is the case, will you take on that assignment that the Lord has given to you to love that person? So let's finish with reminding ourselves of a few points. First of all, we need to stay connected to Jesus, who is the vine. We need to read the scriptures every day and obey what it says. And third thing is to learn to love one another well, okay? If we're able to do these things, we can bear fruit for God's kingdom, and we will learn to love each other as a family of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, just for giving us the capacity to love others. Lord, we know that it is so challenging, especially when we try to do it on our own strength. But thank you, Lord, that you are the greatest supplier of love. Thank you that you are the one who gives us your unconditional love so that we can love others. Teach us how to abide in the vine. Help us to stay connected to you. Help us to read your scriptures so that your scriptures will remain in us. Lord, may you begin to bear fruit in our lives so that we may share Christ with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.